those of you that are out there watching, we want you to, you know, have your Bible there, have it ready. Go ahead and open it up to 2 Kings chapter number 6. And while you're opening it up there, it's awesome. We got a few of our staff and musicians, of course, are here listening to this live here in the building. And there's been a spirit of worship here, as I know you're worshiping God there in your home. And so we are very thankful for this technology to be able to do this. What a blessing that is, I tell you. And we can still, you know, stay in touch and still worship that way. And our church office will be open this week. If you have any questions about anything, feel free to call the office. And from 8 to 4, someone will answer the phone and we'll be able to answer any questions that you have and be able to help you. And like Pastor Rob said, we want to, you know, have a cooperative spirit, and we want to do what's right. And so we want to we don't want to in any way jeopardize you. We don't want to jeopardize the church in any way. And so we just want to do the right thing. And this is a great opportunity to be able to study the Word together this morning. And so I am going to invite you to open up to 2 Kings 6, and we're going to you know, the handout is available there. And so we hope that you can look at that, view it, download it. And we have a handout just like normal. They produced one this week, of course, not knowing what was going to happen, but we are very thankful for that. In 2 Kings chapter 6, just to kind of review, last week we did part one of this, but last Sunday we talked about an incredible story, and it's kind of neat because I've had so many people comment to me that this is one of their favorite stories in the whole Bible since then. And so many comments on the message last Sunday, which is awesome because it is an incredible story. It's a story about the king of Syria and how that the king of Syria, he wanted to destroy God's people, the nation of Israel. And so he determines he's going to, you know, attack them. And so he sets up an ambush, a secret ambush, where he knew Israel's armies always passed by. And every single time they didn't pass by, you know, it's like he would always end up, it would end up just backfiring on him. So finally, some of his people there in his cabinet are like, hey, you know, there's not a traitor here, king. The problem is there's a prophet in Israel named Elisha. And Elisha's the problem because every time we set up an ambush, he knows about it. He tells the king of Israel, and then they don't come by. They go another way. So if they set up the ambush south, then Israel would go north. And they said, the prophet Elisha is the problem. And so he sends out an entire army, a whole troop of soldiers, to go and basically take captive Elisha. And so kind of picking it up there, let's look at verse number 14. All right, verse number 14, 2 Kings 6:14. It says, therefore sent he there horses and chariots and a great host. That means a great army. And they came by night and they compassed the city. They surrounded the city about. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early. So this is Elisha's right-hand man, all right? So he gets up early, goes forth, behold, look at verse 15. It says, a host, an army compass surrounded the city, both with horses and chariots. And his servant said to him, alas, my master, how shall we do? He's like panics. He's like, what are we going to do, Elisha? We're surrounded. I mean, he comes out, like I said last week, he comes out with his morning coffee, got donut. He comes out of his house and here's this entire troop of armies surrounding him. I mean, imagine what you would do if you came out of your house and there's an army when they got swords and they're surrounding your house. And so he just completely freaks out, you know. And so look with me at verse 16, and notice how Elisha responds to this, all right? Verse 16, and he answered, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. And then verse 17, Elisha's going to pray a short prayer for this guy. Look at verse 17. And Elisha prayed, and he said, Lord, I pray you, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. He prays for this guy, and all of a sudden, God gives him 20/20 spiritual vision. And now all of a sudden, he looks around and he sees an entire host of God, an entire angelic army, warriors of God, surrounding the armies of Syria. Now, the Syrians did not know that, but they were surrounded by God's armies. And last week, we were talking about how that in the year 2020, we desperately need 2020 spiritual vision. I don't have 2020 physical vision, as you can see with my glasses, but we need 2020 spiritual vision. Because so often, we do not see things as they really are. Our perspective gets so blurred. Sometimes our perspective gets blurred by our own self-deceit. We think we're smart, we think we're wise in our own eyes, and so what happens, the Bible says, we lie to ourselves, we deceive ourselves. And so many times we go through life and our spiritual vision is blurred and obscured because of self-deceit. We've lied to ourselves about what reality really is. And then sometimes it's the world system we live in. Our perspective can get so blurred by the world system that just inundates us every day. And before you know it, we begin to think like the world. We begin to see things like the world sees it. And so no longer are we seeing things the way God sees things. We're seeing things the way Satan's world system sees things. And so our perspective gets all blurred. You remember the binoculars I used as an illustration last week, and how if the lens got grape jelly. I use the illustration of, my little grandson getting grape jelly all over the lens, and then all of a sudden everything looks blurry and it's got purple dots all over it. And I think so often what happens is that our perspective gets so blurred by sin or strongholds or self-deceit or the world system that we live in that we just don't see things clearly. And, a great illustration of that is Jesus was talking to the disciples in Matthew chapter 13. And Jesus said this about the nation of Israel. I'm going to bring it up on the screen if we could. Matthew chapter 13. Look at this. This is amazing. Great illustration of spiritual vision. He says, "And in them, the nation of Israel, is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which says, hearing you shall hear and shall not understand." And look at this. He said, "Seeing you shall see and shall not perceive." And I think we have, if we can go to the next screen there. Do we have the next one? There we go. It says, "For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes," notice this, "their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them." Then he says to the 12 disciples, his 12 inner core, he says, "But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear." You see, the nation of Israel, they could see physically just fine. He says, but they don't perceive, they don't understand. And when he says there that in that verse, he says, "Their eyes have they closed." Well, obviously, Jesus doesn't mean they were going around with their eyes closed like this. I mean, who would do that, right? So they're not physically closing their eyes and going like this. But what he means by that is that they didn't have any spiritual vision. They didn't see things as it really was, as God saw it. They saw it based on their perception of reality, which was false. Then he says to the 12, "Blessed are your eyes, for they see." They had spiritual vision that other people didn't have. Another great illustration is in your handout in Revelation 3, 17 and 18. Man, listen to this one. Jesus is addressing the church at Laodicea. And he addresses the church. Listen to this. "For you say," he tells the church, "you say," this was their perception. This is how they viewed themselves. "You say, I am rich and have stored up goods and have need of nothing." We're well off. We got it good. Man, I'm set. I am secure. Everything's great. He says, "Yet you do not realize that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. And then he says, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined by fire, that you may be rich, and white garments, that you may be dressed, and that the shame of your nakedness may not appear. And then he says this at the end, anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. You see, the church at Laodicea, their perception of reality was completely wrong. And Jesus said, you know what? Here's how you look at things. You perceive and you see things as we are rich, we have stored up goods, we have need of nothing. He said, but here's, let me give you reality. Okay, this is reality. This is the way it really is. And then he proceeds to explain to them their true condition. Well, man, what a great illustration. What were they lacking? They were lacking 20/20 spiritual vision. They had no spiritual vision. We desperately need 20/20 spiritual vision. We need so much to see things the way God sees them. How does God view us? How does God view our home? How does God view our family? How does God view our church? How does God view culture? How does God view the society we live in? These are things that we really need to have God's perspective on. Because if not, what will happen is if we don't have a sense of true reality, then what happens is we make bad decisions and we make destructive choices with our life. And we just continue to do that like the nation of Israel did if we don't have that 20/20 spiritual vision. Last week we looked at this story, and we began to talk about why we need 20/20 spiritual vision. And the first thing that we looked at is that we said the first reason why we need this so desperately is that it replaces fear with confidence. That's a biggie right now with everything going on. And in our society right now with the coronavirus, it replaces fear with confidence when you have 20/20 spiritual vision. Think about it. Elisha's servant comes out of the house scared to death. He's like, oh no, what are we going to do? And then all of a sudden Elisha prays, he opens up his eyes, he sees God's warriors, angelic warriors all around, and it replaced his fear with confidence, confidence in the living God. 2 Timothy 1:7 says that God's not given the children of God the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. As we study God's word, we said last week, and as we trust the Bible, God begins to give us 20/20 spiritual vision, and we begin to see, we begin to understand. We said last week, remember, we saw three things. We said, God knows right where I am. God knows where I'm at. He knew where Elisha was. He knew the exact city. He knew the exact house that Elisha was in. He knew right where Elisha was. He knew he was in danger with the Syrian army. So God dispatches some angelic warriors to go. God knows right where I am. God knows right where you are. You know, not only that, we said God is bigger than my problem. God's bigger than my problem. God is bigger than any problem that you can face. The Bible says he's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that works in us. God knows right where I am. God is bigger than my problem. And we said last week, God is on my side. The verse I've quoted so many times, Psalm 118:6, where it says, the Lord is on my side. I will not fear. I will not fear. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. And then it says, what can man do unto me? You see, as we focus on God and as we get 20/20 spiritual vision and we see things the way God sees them, the result is peace. Isaiah 26:3 says that God will keep a person in perfect peace whose mind is stayed or focused upon God. And I would just encourage you, church, to claim that promise. Right now, God's not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. When you have 20/20 spiritual vision, it replaces fear with confidence. Confidence in God, not confidence in ourselves and our ability and our wisdom and our smarts and I got it all figured out. No, it replaces fear with confidence, confidence in God, confidence in the living God and his wisdom. But then last week we talked about that not only does it replace fear with confidence, but when we have 20/20 spiritual vision, it gives us God's direction. And, you know, we talked about that last week, and we looked at the story here, and, you know, how God was one step ahead of the king of Syria, and God's always one step ahead of Satan, and God never wrings his hands. God never worries and frets over things. God knows what to do in every situation. And no matter what you're going through right now, and, you know, depression, health problems, marriage issues, work-related messes, family turmoil. Maybe you're, you know, scared to death about the coronavirus right now. Just know that God's not wringing his hands. God knows what to do. God can give direction. God knows the way. And the secret, though, the key to it, we said last week, is that you have to seek after God. The Bible says, you know, ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened unto you. And so God puts the onus on us first, that he says, hey, if you want my wisdom, it's available. If you want me, I'm here. You know, you ask and I will answer. You seek and you will find. You knock and I'll open up the doors. And so the key there is us seeking after God. The Bible says it is good to draw near to God. And I would just say that, you know, right now, and really all the time, these are just reminders. When things like this happen, hurricanes, and when crisis comes in our own personal lives, when cultural things like the coronavirus happen, it's a great time to remind ourselves that we need to draw near to God. And that, because if we don't draw near to God, then we can get off track very, very quickly in our lives. But I want to look at one more thing this morning, and that is this. I want to look at the fact that if you're taking notes and you have the handout, you'll notice that number three there is that when we have 20/20 spiritual vision, it allows us to understand our enemy. It allows us to understand our enemy. Israel, God's people, had an enemy, and their enemy was the king of Syria. He wanted to destroy them. As believers in Christ today, we too have an enemy. And this enemy does not want you to have 20/20 spiritual vision. In fact, in your handout, 1 Peter 5:8 tells us who our enemy is. It says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, your enemy, the devil, it identifies our adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion walks about seeking whom he may devour. So the Bible is very clear that who our adversary is Satan. Ephesians 6:11 on the screen here behind me, it says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of, notice, the devil. 2 Timothy 2:26 is in your handout, and it says, talks about people recovering themselves out of the snare of the devil who are taken captive by him. So let me explain this. When you trust Christ as your Savior, basically, when you trust Jesus, you say, okay, I'm going to be a Christ follower, you are now aligning yourself up against Satan. That's the way it is. You are no longer part of his world system. You are now a citizen of Christ's kingdom. And so, but yet, here's the tricky part. You're a part of Christ's heavenly kingdom. That's where we're going to dwell and live eternally. But yet right now, temporarily, we're on Satan's turf. We are still on the earth in his world system. Well, here's where it gets tricky, because Satan is all about power and he's all about control. As a believer in Jesus Christ, we threaten that. We threaten his power. We threaten his control. So therefore, Satan desires to neutralize your influence and your impact while you're living here on this earth. He wants to neutralize that. Let it be understood that your enemy is not your spouse, okay? And so if you're watching this at home with your spouse right now, you know, I would encourage you to smile at each other and hold each other's hand. And you know what? You're not in church. You can even kiss them right there. Or kiss them in church, all right? And give them a kiss and let them know, hey, you're not my enemy. You know, we are not enemies. We are on the same team. Your enemy is not your boss at work. Your enemy is not your in-laws. And I just say that because my mother-in-law is watching this morning. So I want to make sure I make that clear, right, honey? That your enemy is not your in-law. So mother-in-law, I hope you heard that, all right? But your enemy is not a family member. It's not some friend who did you dirty in the past. Your enemy is not a coworker. It's not a church member for sure. You know, church members get mad at each other. It's like, wow, okay, that's not your enemy, you know? Your enemy is Satan. Your enemy is Satan, and we're in a warfare. In fact, let me bring it up on the screen real quick, and notice this. It says, finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And then notice, as we keep going, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Your enemy is not flesh and blood. But he says we're wrestling against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Listen, when you are in combat, you better be able to see, or you don't stand a chance. We don't send blind people into combat, do we? We don't do that. That wouldn't be fair. It wouldn't be right. Well, doesn't it stand to reason then that if we as believers are in a spiritual warfare, then we better have spiritual vision to see things on this earth clearly, to see things as they really are, to view the world system we live in through the eyes of God. The servant of Elisha, he caught a glimpse of the spirit world that was all around him, all those angelic warriors. And he caught a glimpse of that, and he realized, wow, okay, man, we are in the middle here of a spiritual battle. You got the armies of Syria. You got God's armies here. Man, you got it all right here. And the thing is, though, he didn't realize that till his eyes were open. Elisha prays for him. The Bible says he saw, and all of a sudden he sees the battle that was raging that he didn't even see before that. Well, as believers, we have the Holy Spirit, and as we believe God's word, we begin to see the spiritual battle that's raging. You say, Pastor Dan, you know, what kind of things would Satan care about me, you know, fighting me over? What kind of things would he even care about or want to fight me over? Well, think about this. Do you think Satan wants you to be a light at work? You think he wants you to be a light at your job? You know, do you think that Satan wants you to share your faith in Christ with other people? No, he wants you to be quiet. He wants you to be silent. You know, do you really think Satan wants you to raise your children up to love the Lord? Do you think Satan wants you to raise your children up to love God and to serve God? Do you think that Satan wants your marriage to succeed? Do you think that Satan wants you to serve the Lord? Do you think Satan wants you to be generous with God's work? No. See, Satan doesn't want you to have 20/20 spiritual vision. He doesn't want you to see any of those things clearly. He wants to obscure your vision. He wants you to get focused on other stuff, you know, rather than the stuff that really matters. Because the stuff I just said, raising up your children to love the Lord, that means that'll outlive you most likely. You'll be up in heaven, but your work on earth will still be continuing through your children as they love the Lord and as they serve the Lord. You know, you're a light at work and you're able to bring people to Christ. That's going to outlive you, most likely. Your influence will continue when you're gone. Why? You're living for eternity. And, you know, I would just say this as your pastor this morning, and I know we have hundreds of people we're able to see online. We got hundreds of people watching this, and that is awesome. A lot of homes, a lot of families that are tuning in. And I just want to encourage you guys, you know, members of Crossroads, attenders of Crossroads, that, you know, when things like this happen, like the coronavirus, and of course we've been through hurricanes and we've been through all these things, and when you go through times like this, I really believe that it is such an opportunity for us to really see where our faith is, to really evaluate where we're at in our relationship with God. I mean, the stock market plunges, you know, and people lose a lot of their investments. And that's for something that is like the coronavirus. I mean, imagine a major plague and what would happen. And I think it's a time for us to be able to really, because, you know, let's face it, we live in America, and our lives pretty much day in and day out, we live uninterrupted. You know, we have it good. We have peace and prosperity, and we got things pretty good. And you know, when our lives are interrupted by something like this, I think it's an opportunity for us to get that 2020 spiritual vision that we're talking about and to say, you know what, I really do need to understand that it is eternal things that matter. It, you know, because things on this earth can be gone like that, you know, and our money, our health, we, you know, all that can be gone like that. So it's like, man, it causes you to refocus, realign, and say, man, it is eternal things. And to get that eternal viewpoint, that eternal perspective. See, that's the 2020 spiritual vision that we're talking about. It's that we're able to see things the way God sees them instead of the way that we see them or the way the world system sees them. We're able to see these things in the light of who God is and what God thinks. And I think that there's benefit in that, you know, for us to be able to sometimes have our faith tested and tried so that our faith can be stretched and so that we can put in perspective the things that really matter. You know, in this text, the king of Syria is a picture of Satan, clearly. And as you look at how the king of Syria worked and how he operated, you see a perfect picture of Satan. Think about this. The king of Syria knew where to attack. He knew where Israel would be passing by, and so he set up an ambush. Well, if it wasn't for the prophet Elisha having spiritual vision, they would have walked right into that ambush and they would have been destroyed. He knew where to set up his ambush. And if it were not for God telling Elisha, they'd have walked right into it. And in the same way, Satan knows your weaknesses. Satan knows where you are vulnerable. Satan knows where to attack you. And that's why we need 2020 spiritual vision like Elisha. Think about it. Because Elisha had spirit-filled vision, he was able to confound and confuse the king of Syria. And in the same way, Satan knows where to attack you, but when you have 2020 spiritual vision, then God gives you wisdom on how to confound and confuse Satan and his efforts. The second thing I notice is number two is that the king of Syria used deception. He was going to lie in wait and then secretly ambush the children of God from behind. He's going to stick the knife in their back, so to speak. And that's a common tactic in war, that the enemy does not want you to see things as they really are. So they set traps, they make it look good, and then you won't know it's a trap. And you're like, yeah, come on, the coast is clear. And then boom, bam, they get you, right? We read earlier about the wiles of Satan. That means tricks or schemes. Satan used deception in the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve, right? He used deception. He came as the most beautiful of creatures. Let me remind you, the Bible says that Satan appears as an angel of light. Without spiritual vision from God, we don't stand a chance to uncover his schemes. I mean, if we do not have spiritual vision, 2020 spiritual vision, we're hopeless, we're helpless, because Satan comes as an angel of light. He looks great on the surface. You got to have 2020 spiritual vision to see through his tricks as he tries to destroy you, destroy your home, destroy your children, destroy your marriage, destroy your life. You got to have that spiritual vision. And then the last thing is this, the king of Syria was persistent. You know, the king of Syria would try one way, and when that didn't work, he'd try another way. When that didn't work, he'd try another way. And then he's like, well, that didn't work, so let's go get Elisha. And so he's persistent. Satan is persistent. And that's why the Bible says that we have to be sober, we have to be vigilant, alert at all times. We can't let our guard down. And so, you know, hopefully today you're beginning to realize from this text how crucial this spiritual vision is that we're talking about. We're in a battle. We have an enemy who is very strategic, very sly, very clever. And so we can't afford to just sail through life without 2020 spiritual vision. Listen, let me just say this, all right? Satan wants to mess up your thinking. He wants to mess up your mind. He wants to get you thinking wrong. He wants to mess up your reasoning processes. He does not want your thinking to line up with God's word and God's thoughts. He does not. And so how do we fight that? Well, as you read God's word, listen to God's word, study God's word, seek to apply it with much prayer, seeking God like we talked about last week, as you do that, then you are on the path to renewing your mind and getting 20/20 spiritual vision. Having God's thoughts. Having God's mind on things. So important. The coronavirus, you know, we need to look at this through God's eyes with His wisdom. You know, and I think that, you know, we're, like I said, we're not going to be reckless. We're not going to be ignorant. And, you know, we're not going to do reckless things. And, well, we're just trusting God and then do reckless. I'm not going to go around licking doorknobs, right, because I'm trusting in God, you know. All right. But on the other hand, to balance that out, I'll just say that we want to approach this as believers with a rational calmness and a rational confidence in our God, in who He is. And we want to do what the Bible says. We want to walk by faith, which simply means that day by day, we're going to trust God. We're going to trust our Heavenly Father. We're going to do exactly what we talked about in the text here. We are going to trust God and let Him fill our heart with confidence, not fear. We're going to trust God for His direction and His leadership in our life. We're going to seek Him every day, and we're going to know how much we need God. And then, like today, we're going to also, you know, approach the warfare that we're in with Satan. We're going to approach that with 20/20 spiritual vision. And we're not going to just get sucked in by the world system down here, live for the things of the earth and live for things down here that don't matter. We're not going to get sucked into that. We're going to realize that eternity, we got to live our life in light of eternity and with an eternal perspective in mind. So we're going to walk by faith. We're going to walk with trust in our Heavenly Father. Our motto at Crossroads is learning the Bible, living the Bible. And really, you know, when you couple that with prayer, seeking God in prayer, that's what is going to enable us to have 20/20 spiritual vision. Learning the Bible, living the Bible. And I want to say how much I appreciate those of you who are tuning in right now. It's important to you, I know, to study the Bible. And this message will be available if you missed part of it. Once it's on there, it'll be on there. You can go back and listen, re-listen, share it with other people through social media. You can share this message. But 20/20 spiritual vision, I can't think of a better topic for today than that. And that is that we are not going to be moved into mass hysteria. We're going to be prudent. We're going to be wise. We're going to listen to what health professionals are telling us. And we're going to exercise wisdom in the decisions that we make. But at the same time, we're going to live with our confidence in God. We're going to live with our faith in God. We're going to trust in God. And we're going to look at things with an eternal viewpoint in mind.